You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is 11/23/21. Well, Will Rogers once said, invest in inflation. It's the only thing going up. He could have been alive today. Who knows? But if you're looking for investments that are going to keep up and maybe even stay ahead of inflation, you've got to look at real estate. And if you're looking at real estate, well, then you got to know what the market conditions are. Obviously, real estate, it isn't one big market, although it is assembled into one. It's hundreds of individual markets taking place at the local level. And that's why we've got Andrew Ragusa, a noted real estate professional, with us today to give us an idea of what's happening in the Northeast and what he sees happening around the country. Andrew, it's great to have you back.
Hey, Carrie, it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting.
Hey, so in New York, you're outside New York, you're in Long Island, as we used to call it.
That's right.
But it is a good indicator of the metro area, because what's doing in Long Island is generally doing in Westchester, New Jersey, Connecticut, etc., with variations, of course. What's the market looking like? We checked in with you a couple months ago. It was going like gangbusters.
Well, you know, it's cooled down since then. It's still pretty strong because, you know, like, I just made offers on houses for some clients. And instead of having to go, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 over asking like we were doing in the spring and summer, this time the houses are selling somewhere in the average of $30,000 over asking, which is, you know, which is not as bad as it was, but it's still pretty up there. At least people are not overpaying by crazy amounts anymore.
Yeah. So the market's getting a little rational. Are you seeing any price cuts yet?
Well, I am seeing that there are people out there who are saying, hey, the market's hot. I'm going to try and throw my house up for a number that just doesn't make sense. And then it sits on the market and people don't even bother with it. Once they reduce their price and bring it down to what the true value of the home should be based on comps, right? Because that's what buyers are using. They're using comparables to understand what markets are doing. That's when a bunch of people will show up and the bidding war will begin. So the overpriced homes are absolutely sitting still.
All right. Well, that's the way it should be in a market that's functioning properly. What about these iBuyers, institutions, instant buyers, they call them, and they'll just make an offer to buy a property up? I understand that probably most of Long Island is over the price point, the sweet spot that they look for, but are you seeing them still on the rampage?
Well, you know, we don't really run into that here in Long Island, iBuying, and I think that's because it's just so expensive. You know, finding a house right in Long Island, less than $400,000, has become almost impossible. It used to be possible to find a place somewhere around 350, even 300, if you went pretty far east. But now even those houses are going up there. Anything in the 400 mark is just gone. Like, basically the 400 average price point sells so fast, you can't even, like, you could hold your breath and it'll be gone. But my point being is that these iBuyers, when they come, they essentially are looking for ways to flip houses, to make money. So when there's this much demand and the properties are going so quickly, I don't think they have any interest in a place like Long Island. And then you saw what happened to Zillow, right? You see they stopped the program.
Yeah, we had a segment on that entitled Zillow Flips Out.
Well, it just goes to show you that they were relying on the accuracy of their Zestimate computer model, which is something that realtors for years have been telling their customers, do not rely on that. And now, look, they hurt themselves because of that. And essentially, they paid too much for houses. So, well, you know,
in my case, I bought a house and the Zestimate popped up right at the number that I paid. Once I bought the house, and this is already 6-8 months ago, prices have gone nuts. And now it says it doesn't have enough data to figure out what the Zestimate should be. The Zestimate's a good starting point, and you can go get other AVM automated value model prices from other websites, but it doesn't know whether you have new kitchen cabinets or the inside of your house had a fire and is completely destroyed.
Exactly.
It can't account for these variations. Doesn't know if you have a pool or you filled in the pool with cement. Right. I mean,
you know, the other thing that it's just, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there's one other thing that people don't realize is that as these properties go on market with a realtor, the Zestimate will adjust to whatever the list price is. So if you watch at the history of the property, like you can go to the Zestimate and go to their estimate range and watch how they were coming up on the line graph. And the day it was listed, that price will either jump up or jump down based on what the realtor said it's worth. So it seems like in the end, even Zillow says, well, realtor thinks it's worth this, and that's what we're going to put our estimate on.
Which is so funny when you think about it, because here it's supposed to be an objective price measure, and yet they're unable to come up with it, right? So they don't know.
Exactly.
Right. So looking ahead at the market, well, if we have rates start to go higher, which they're threatening to do, and I'm certainly not convinced they're going, but assume that they do, what's that going to do to the health of the market?
Well, you know, I've heard a few times from people that rates were being threatened to be raised, and then they did not pull the trigger on any. I haven't seen any jump. But I even personally said, you know what, I'm going to buy myself a home, and I bought myself a primary residence in the last month because I'm just seeing the prices of the properties are climbing steadily, at least in my market, where I know that if I buy this house now, 3 to 4 months later, it's going to be worth more than what I paid for without putting a dime into it. So when the market is climbing like that, and then inflation is a problem, we have the rising food costs, rising gas costs, everything like that, it just makes sense to put my money into real estate. If I had to guess where this was going, I would say that real estate at the moment will remain somewhere stabilized around this slightly above asking competition, like kind of playing field that we have over here, because this is a strong, healthy market when it does it. You don't want a market where it's overpaying by crazy amounts, but then you don't want a market where the buyers have full control of everything, because then the values are going down.
I see. Yeah. So you want it in balance. You want supply to more or less equal demand and hope for the best, huh?
Right. Well, if the supply is slightly less than demand, then the value keeps rising. So it's beneficial to those people who own their homes. So I'm hoping that we stay somewhere stabilized right here. And it looks like it might be possible. The only reason why I have that feeling is because I personally, from being out there talking to buyers and sellers, I know people who have money liquid and they're waiting because they believe the market will crash. And they keep saying to me, once this market crashes, I'm going to go grab this one. I'm going to go grab that. I'm going to scoop up these properties. We're going to make a killing. But the amount of people who have this mindset, I see it. They're everywhere. There's a lot of people thinking crash is coming, crash is coming. But how could we say that we're going to have this kind of crash when all these people are waiting to buy? You get what I'm saying? Because once it crashes, they're going to go scoop something up.
Well, you know, there was a saying used to be said. I don't remember who said it. But the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent. So, you know, a trend in motion stays in motion until it stops. And a lot of cliches here, let's face it. But I really do think that it's got a ways to go, partly interest rate dependent, but partly not. And hey, we'll know it's over when the last closing takes place, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
FPX Nickel is developing the large-scale Dakar Nickel District in central British Columbia. Within the district is FPX Nickel's PEA stage Baptiste Nickel Deposit, which is projected to be among the world's top 10 largest nickel mines by annual output. The Baptiste Deposit has the potential for the lowest quartile operating costs at just $2.74 per pound. And compared to recent global nickel mines, the project requires a low capex. FPX is also commencing its first ever drill program at its Van target in the Dakar Nickel District. Surface surface samples have indicated that the Van Target footprint is larger in scale and 10 to 15% higher in grade than Baptiste. FPX Nickel trades in Canada as FPX and on the OTC under FPOCF. To learn more, go to FPXNickel.com. That's FPXNickel.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yeah, and you know what? If you have a 3 to 5 year strategy for investment, you're kind of in a in the safe zone as far as like, you know, investments properties are concerned. You could buy something cash flowing, and if you're holding it anywhere for 3 to 5 years, you're going to collect cash flow every month, and then the appreciated value should adjust, because even if we have some sort of catastrophic event and there's a turn in the market, a 5 year period is enough to have a stabilized, kind of like an average. You'll see a stabilization, like if you look at it from a line graph. And, you know, whatever, maybe you hold it 1 or 2 extra years beyond that. So I wouldn't want to discourage people to not grab real estate, because it's always the best investment in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, like, I bought my house and I could have flipped it and turned a tidy profit. You know what the problem was, Andrew?
Why?
I had to find someplace else to live.
Yeah, agreed.
Right? I mean, that's always the dilemma. And there's one thing when you're investing, right? You invest in a home, you invest in real estate, then you're not emotionally invested, if you will, for lack of a better term. But, right. You know, you see the prices going up, but, you know, the corresponding phenomena is that the purchasing power of your dollar is going down, right?
Right. Agreed. So. And we're seeing it everywhere. It's not just in real estate. You're seeing it in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere it's happening. So, well, that's a lot to chew off there. What about nationwide? I know you're local in the New York metro area, but obviously you watch national trends, because that is your business. What are you seeing on the national front here? It's basically what you're seeing in Long Island, right?
Yeah, I think for the most part, it's like there's a lot of people who just said the same thing you said. I'm willing to sell my home, but where do I go? That's been the problem for the last 2 years. And you know, prior to the coronavirus, even in 2019, from if you look at 18 to 19, inventory was going down from 17, 18, and 19. Those are statistics from the Long Island Board of Realtors that I'm basing that off of, because I'm involved with them. So we were seeing a shrinking of inventory for a while. Now, 2020 had a humongous drop in inventory. And then, 21, we had a big increase because of that drop. But there was a downward trend of inventory the whole time. So I'm seeing that. In general, I think on a nationwide level, people have the same concern that if I sell my property, where do I go? So I think the most movement in the migration patterns for people will be towards the Southwest region of the United States, warmer climates, where there's, you know, leadership that people seem to be really gravitating towards as well. And it just seems to be a little stabler over there, a little more law and order. I think that's where it's going to have the most attention.
Yeah. Hey, get out of Dodge. If you had to make 3 predictions for the real estate market coming year, 2022, what would they be, Andrew?
3 predictions. Well, the only thing I could really predict on would be my market. So I'm going to say, you know, we're going to have a little bit more inventory show up. I think a lot of it is going to be politically influenced. Here in Long Island, we've had some definitely changes in representation in the individual towns. Some of the not the whole county, but like in Suffolk County, a lot of towns that originally had blue representatives now have red representatives. So I see there will be changes in mindset will result in people wanting to either move towards where there's other people who think like them on both sides. Right. Mm-hmm. So I do anticipate seeing people leave and probably heading towards the south. And then we'll see. I'm hoping that they allow for more development. That would be the best case scenario, that if we could just start building more properties. There's a lot of farmland that's not being used here. Mm-hmm. And that would help a lot.
Interesting. Really interesting, because, you know, it's supply demand. So if you don't increase supply and demand stays the same or goes higher, prices are going higher. But the one thing is, nobody's panicked about higher real estate prices, Andrew. they're panicked about higher food prices, the fact that a Thanksgiving Day turkey, you know, could go for $100, that they're worried about. But housing prices, it's they're concerned about it, but it's not like, hey, you got to go buy a house tomorrow, but you got to eat and you got to put gas in your car and you have to use energy. That they care about. So it kind of falls under the radar in terms of policy. But
you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they adjusted the interest rates to match the rising property values. So, you know, even though property values have gone up, your monthly payment has remained about the same because the interest rate has gone down. So as long as that keeps happening, the real estate market will be okay. Unfortunately, we're not being provided loans to go to the grocery store, which, you know, we might not want anyway. We don't need more debt.
Not yet anyway, but that could be in the offing. You never know about these politicians, what they're capable of for sure. So political landscape shifting. So maybe that's really pro-taxpayer in a sense and pro-market. Interest rates higher or lower?
Right now they're lower. You know, I've actually seen some people get interest rates around 2.8.
Really?
2.5. Yeah. I've seen some pretty good deals out there.
Okay. And migration, people leaving the Northeast for warmer climes. Obviously I live in Florida. I see it all the time. There's like a steady stream of license plates, orange license plates, orange and black from New York. That migration trend, going to stabilize, slow down, or get stronger?
I think it's going to probably end up stabilizing, but you know, I think a stabilized trend is not a straight line. It would be a slightly increasing, so a slight upward trend as opposed to a huge spike.
All right.
Because if it stays stable, then there's no movement. I mean, by truly stable, I mean like a flat line, then there's no movement. And then that's not good for anybody either. So we do want some movement.
Agreed. Well, this is going to be interesting. Let's see what happens next. And if you got a question for Andrew, myself, just shoot us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. We'll get you an answer quick. And while you're at it, go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for your free newsletter. Andrew, always a pleasure. Really appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you in a couple months and get an update after the first of the year.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.